I'm Gloria Swift, Museum Curator at Ford's Theater, and you're listening to Speaking of History.
The Eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the Great Crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello and welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that focuses on education, technology, and history. Tonight's episode is number 52, recording it on December 6, 2006, and last week I was in Washington, D.C. for the NCSS Social Studies Conference, and fortunately enough, we were located in a great hotel close to downtown, and we're only about two or three blocks away from Ford's Theater, which is one of my most favorite places to visit when I'm in Washington, D.C. I can remember as a young boy, we had a book about the presidents, and I would continually read about the Lincoln assassination and have always been fascinated by that particular day in history. I think that things dramatically changed on that day for the rest of the course of United States history. Who knows what would have happened if Lincoln would have not been assassinated and been able to serve his entire second term, how Reconstruction would have been different and how the Civil War would have been viewed differently. So I've always been fascinated with Ford's Theater. And since we're so close to the theater, one day during the convention, when we took lunch, I walked down to Ford's Theater and spent just a little bit of time at the theater. And if you've ever been there, basically Ford's Theater has been reconstructed. They've gutted the building. It's not exactly the same interior as it was during Lincoln's assassination, but the upstairs is a working theater. And one year when I took students there, probably almost about 10 years ago now, we did actually go to Ford's Theater to watch an actual play. I believe, if I remember right, we saw Paper Moon, and it was a great play, but just the fact that you're sitting in this actual theater and you know that this is the place where the Lincoln assassination took place is pretty powerful. So the upstairs is a working theater, and then downstairs they have an exhibition hall, or I guess like a museum, with quite a few artifacts from the Lincoln assassination. You can actually see the door that John Wilkes Booth opened, and you can see the little hole that he looked through to look inside the president's box. They have quite a few artifacts from that night. They've got some depictions of what happened in the chase to get the conspirators afterwards. So I went downstairs into the basement, and I was fortunate enough to be able to find Gloria Swift, who is the curator for Ford's Theater, and asked her some questions about the museum. And then I went next door and looked in the Peterson House, the place where they took Abraham Lincoln's body after he was shot, and he actually died in the Peterson House hours after that. And the person that was the historical representative there was Michael W. Robinson, and he told us a little bit about the death of Lincoln in the Peterson House. So here you have an interview with Gloria Swift, the curator, and then across the street with Michael Robinson at the Peterson House.
Hello, I'm here with Gloria Swift, and we are in the basement of Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., and just a couple questions for Mrs. Swift. She's the curator of the Ford's Theater. Thanks.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
First of all, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the museum that's downstairs in the basement of Ford's Theater?
Yeah, the museum was started way back, right after Lincoln's assassination, by a gentleman by the name of Osborne Oldroyd. He began collecting memorabilia of Lincoln's time and of Lincoln himself. And he collected, he actually lived in the house where Lincoln died for many years until the government purchased that collection along with the Peterson House, and then they moved the collection here to the basement. What you see here is only a small fraction of the items that Oldroyd collected over the years.
Wow. So do you rotate any of the items, or is it kind of a permanent collection?
Most of this is a permanent collection because, of course, we have the gun that Booth used to shoot Lincoln. We have Lincoln's clothing. So most of these items are permanent. We do have one case, though, that we use to bring out items from our collection that otherwise wouldn't be seen.
Okay.
And we have a great time, bringing those out and sharing them with everyone.
Okay. And Ford's Theater is a working theater, correct? You can actually see performances here?
Yes, it is. But you have to understand that that is not the original stage or the interior that you're seeing upstairs, although it's close, you know, as close as we can get without blueprints. Right after the assassination, the people in Washington did not want the Ford brothers to start their playhouse again. And so Ford sold it to the War Department, and in August of 1865, they gutted it completely on the interior, saving the exterior walls only, and turned it into a three-story office building. The papers that are today that were used for the official records, to make the official records, the whole series of volumes of messages and letters and correspondence relating to the Civil War were housed here at one time.
Now, one of the things that I've always found interesting is, correct me if I'm wrong, Lincoln in his wallet had a Confederate $5 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever known what that significance of that was? Or?
To my knowledge, no. Of course, that's owned by the Library of Congress. That and the rest of the contents of the pocket, which included some newspaper articles and, of course, a handkerchief and, you know, personal items like glasses. But as far as I know, we've never really known, you know, why he had that. Maybe it was a remembrance of his trip to Richmond. Who knows?
Now, you probably see thousands of visitors here almost on a monthly basis, I'm sure. What are some of the more interesting questions that you've received from either students or just visitors in general?
We get about 1 million visitors a year, so we see a lot of folks. Probably two big surprises. I'm trying to think of a question specifically. I can't get one to mind, but two things that people don't realize and they come here and they learn about is, number one, Lincoln was not killed immediately. You know, they didn't realize that he was not dead as soon as the bullet hit his brain. It took 9 hours for him to die. The other thing is, of course, the theater itself, finding out that it's not the original interior. But as far as a specific question, I've been trying to reach my brain. There have been a few, but I just can't come to mind with one right now.
Yeah. Now, there's been some kind of weird, mysterious things that have happened with Ford's Theater. What about the collapse of the building? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, that occurred when, in 1890, let me make sure I get the year correct, 1893, they were working in the basement of the building, and there was a wall that had not been shored up properly during the initial construction of the building, and they were digging near that wall, and it just collapsed, killing, you know, and injuring 22 government workers inside.
Wow. Now, over there, there's a display that shows current presidents, recent presidents that have been here.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine the hoopla is probably pretty amazing when a sitting president comes to watch performance.
Well, they actually come usually during the year during the presidential gala, and it is for him and his invited guests only. But yes, there's quite a bit of hoopla.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My name is A.C. Richards. I was the superintendent of police from 1864 until 1878. My office was at 10th and E Street, and I was in the audience of Ford's Theater on the night of April 14th, 1865.
Now, I'm an 8th grade history teacher, so one of the questions when we look at historical diagrams of what happened here, we typically see a lot of people around the bed where President Lincoln died. What's the reality of the actual bedroom where Lincoln
died? The reality, as you can see, is that they probably could not fit more than maybe 10 or 15 people in the room. There were over 100 witnesses who claimed that they were in the bedroom that evening at that time. That's clearly impossible. In fact, there were 20 people that said that they assisted in carrying Lincoln out of the theater. That, too, would be impossible. He was a tall man, but not quite that tall. What we try to do when we analyze the history associated with this is to look at the initial eyewitness accounts, the people that the Secretary of War, William Stanton, interviewed in here. They are going to be more accurate than the people who come off later on. The last account of this, by the way, by a supposed eyewitness, was written in 1954. Even with those accounts, we can't definitely determine who was there and who was not there. The people that we know were definitely there were Robert Todd Lincoln and William Stanton, Edwin Stanton, who was the Secretary of War. We know they were there. And probably a Dr. Leal, who was the first doctor on site, perhaps the Surgeon General as well, but we're not sure about the rest of the people.
Now, just a couple of minutes ago, you talked about an odd fact about the bed where Lincoln died with Booth. Can you relate that?
Right. We think that the original conspiracy was to kidnap Abraham Lincoln, and we think that the original attempt made in that was March 17th. Shortly after that, Booth was here playing at Ford's Theater in the Apostate. That gave him a reason for being in Washington on March 17th. And he was looking for a place to spend the night. And the place he chose was the Peterson House. The bed he chose was the one on which Abraham Lincoln died a month later.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks again to Gloria Swift and Michael W. Robinson for allowing me to interview them for the Speaking of History podcast. Next time you're in Washington, D.C., definitely check out Ford's Theater, an excellent museum in the basement of the theater, and they also have a very good gift shop. I actually purchased a small board book for my 3-year-old daughter about the life of Abraham Lincoln, and we've been reading that almost nonstop since I got home last week. So my daughter's learning a little bit about Abraham Lincoln and kind of a neat reminder from Ford's Theater that I can tell her about when she grows up. So thanks again for listening to Speaking of History. Continue to listen. We'll have some more projects coming up and some hopefully some podcasts from the convention. I did podcast a couple of the entire sessions, and I'm working on getting some permissions to actually post those entire audio presentations. So stay tuned, and hopefully we'll have some entire sessions from the National Conference in Washington, D.C. Thanks a lot for listening, and please continue to listen to Speaking of History.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.